Good morning. A few things. We have no drummer today because he's just run half a marathon. He just sent me a picture saying he's okay and he's finished. So I'm very pleased about that. Okay, I just want to share something to carry on from what Eddie said, actually. I want to explain something to newer people in faith, really. So just give me a moment. So when Eddie was talking then, he was talking about his experience of when he was reading the Word and how his spirit that's been touched by God on the inside connected with God's Word. And I just wanted to expand a little bit on that because I want to encourage you. It's called a rhema or rhema word. And what that means is a rhema word speaks to a believer. A rhema word is received while reading the Bible about something that applies to a current situation or need. In essence, the rhema word is timely and extremely valuable in a Christian's walk with God. And this isn't my word, but I was reading about this a few weeks ago. And I think a lot of times us Christians, we don't read the word enough. And then that rhema word, or rhema word, however it's pronounced, there's no opportunity there for God's Spirit to connect with us and make something jump off the page and actually change us and change a thought or something. Or as Eddie said, unpicking things he's learnt already, but actually realised actually that he's thinking differently about them. And I want to encourage you as Christians, get in your Bible. And if you're struggling to read your Bible, talk to us. Please talk to us. We all go through seasons where sometimes it's not easy to read it, or sometimes you don't know where to start. But please read it, because when we read God's Word, it never comes back empty, ever. And it changes us from the inside out. And it's so important, because God's Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. Now, what Eddie doesn't know is a bit of this is in my Word. So thank you, Eddie, for that sharing this morning, and what an encouragement. We were a bit light of young people today because they've got exams, so don't be wondering where they all are, because they've all got their heads down studying, because they've got a lot of exams this week. I want to talk this morning about the Lord's Prayer. So in my own Christian life, I have to challenge myself. I'm not passive in my own Christian life. I've always got not only the book, the Bible, I've always got another book on the go. And it's usually something that I want to learn about. So I asked a couple in the church, what could they recommend, who are well read, what could they recommend for me? And they found this book on prayer for me and bought it for me. They were very generous. And I've got my head in this book. I'm up to chapter 7. But chapter 4 talks about the Lord's Prayer, and I was so blessed when I read this chapter on the Lord's Prayer that I'm going to share it today. One of our responsibilities is when you learn something and when I learn something is we pass it on. We don't keep it to ourselves. I don't want to be a fat Christian. I want to be a slim Christian who, as soon as I get something, I want to give it straight away. I want to bless somebody else with what God shared with me, like Eddie's done this morning. I don't want to keep it. I want to share it. So I started reading about the Lord's Prayer, and you know, it so blessed me. And when I started to think about it and read about it and read scriptures around it, it took me back to when I was really, really young. And lots of things about it just started to fill my mind about how old I was when I used to say the Lord's Prayer. So I first learnt the Lord's Prayer. I didn't learn it at home. I didn't learn it from my parents. My parents never prayed with me because they didn't have a faith. They believed in God, but they didn't have a faith. I learnt it at school. And I was about 7 or 8 when I probably could say it on my own. But do you know when I used to say it? I used to say it in the dark. I'd be at home, I'd be in bed on the top bunk in this tiny, tiny little box room with the airing cupboard where my dad used to brew his own beer. With my head's face in the pillow because the hops smelt horrible. And I work in Moss Side occasionally, and the smell of hops comes across. And do you know, I'm back in that bedroom on the top bunk with the little airing cupboard where my dad was brewing his beer because it went up to £1 a pint. And in that little room, obviously at night, it was dark. And my sister was asleep. She was underneath. She's 2 years younger than me. And she was underneath, and I would wake up and I'd say the Lord's Prayer. And I always felt peaceful going to sleep. Always felt peaceful. It was a prayer that gave me comfort as I would nod off. In my childhood, I also had dark nights when I was woken up by voices. And, you know, I was a child brought up in the 60s and 70s, 3 day working week. For you lads at the back, that meant dad went to work. He could only work 3 days and he could only earn 3 days worth of money. And sometimes in the 70s, it was a bit tough. And mum was doing what she could, dad was doing what he could. He was in a foundry working very long hours. He had a dangerous job. He worked in molten metal. And he worked from 7 in the morning to most nights 7. And came home and wanted his tea on the table. And he's a bit like Shirley Valentine. You know, Tuesday, you know, he could never give me dad salad because he was a working man. And he'd come home to his meat and, you know, pork and steak and all sorts. My mum always fed us really well. But it was tough. It was really tough. And what that meant was that sometimes they rowed. And me as a little girl woke up. And they'd wake me up because they were rowing. And I used to get quite upset in these rows. They'd never knew. And I used to hear these rows. But you know what I used to do? I used to pull the covers over my head and I'd say the Lord's Prayer. And it's quite a vivid memory, that. And he always felt comforted. The first thing that we realise about this prayer is it's the first time that anyone in the Bible calls God Father. It's the first time, and Jesus was the first person to call him Father. And, you know, our personal relationship with God, that we spend time with him and we love him. And that's where our prayer begins. And what a privilege we have to call him our Father. When I first started to read this, I thought, it's just amazing that Jesus called you Father and I can call you our Father. As we have a relationship with him, we come to him. And he reveals to us through his Holy Spirit. You see, all of us here that acknowledge God as our Father can only do that when the Holy Spirit's done a work in us. It's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. My first thoughts when I became a Christian, I immediately knew, I had this, and it was the Holy Spirit, that God the Father was real. Straight away, just knew straight away that God the Father was real. And that he would never sleep. Irene prayed it. He'd never sleep. Never too busy. Always available. There in the morning, there at night, always available. And I felt that as soon as I became a Christian. And I immediately knew that he had to be above everything else. You see, sometimes as Christians, we want God to be in the box. We don't sometimes want him first in everything. We don't want him first in our lives. We don't want to put him first. We don't want him to be first. But I knew straight away that that's what he had to be. He had to be love first and a priority in my life. On slide 3, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jed was saying a joke before that he'd heard one say, "Harold be thy name," which made me laugh. I'm not very good at telling jokes. The prayer says, after our Father is in heaven, our Father is not in this worldly realm. He's not confined or contained in the way that sometimes we put him in a box. And hallowed be thy name means holy, honoured, set apart. And God is referred to holy in the Old Testament and regularly, and that's how it's regularly said. But his father in the New Testament. When I was growing up, it was important for me not to upset my dad. It was one of the things that I didn't like to do. And life was very complicated at home with my dad. And growing up as a teenager, you know, I knew exactly what buttons to press. I knew how to get him wound up. I knew what would upset him. He was the sort of dad that when I went out and he'd look me over before I left, I'd only be about 13, 14, he'd look at me like that. He'd look at my eyes. I'd got any makeup on. Where was I going? Who was I going with? It took me half an hour to get out of the house. And then he didn't know that sometimes I'd sneak some eyeshadow in my back pocket. But I had to lick it off before I got home. He was very strict. When I became a Christian, a lot of my early Christian life was praying about my home situation. You know, and God revealed to me what my dad's weaknesses were. And you know, I also had to obey and not press those buttons. And because God was gracious to me, he helped me at times to keep my mouth shut and not to say things that would upset him. And I thank God for that. Because at the point when I left home as a bride-to-be, my relationship with my dad was good. And that's a testimony because how God helped me to make that relationship work. And it was only through his Holy Spirit and through listening to him that we had a relationship. You see, this dad that I left to get married to and he walked me down this aisle, he looked after me from being 6 months old. So he wasn't my birth dad, but he brought me up. And I honoured that relationship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This line focuses us on desiring what God desires. With God. Desiring what God desires enables his power to work through us in love and in serving. Jesus prayed this in reference to his coming death in Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. Thy will be done. It was not a prayer of resignation, but of obedience. As we grow closer to our Father, he is King and he has a kingdom. We need to see more of his kingdom in this life and not just expect to see it fully in eternity. I think sometimes as Christians, we've not quite got the balance right. We're very focused on eternity, and I get that. And this is our temporary life, and I get that. But there's far more prayer that we need to do in order for some of heaven to come down on earth. There's definitely more we can do as Christians to pray. The situations that we need to be praying for. His kingdom come. We need to pray that his kingdom will come. Heaven is not on earth, but we can ask God that his kingdom will come. So, mature Christians, the intercessors among you and those that are listening on the recording, your responsibility is to pray for the blessings and cover the work here on earth. And this is the element where I think we need to do more. Because God's love needs to be seen more in the world. God's love needs to be seen more in Denton. God's love needs to be seen more in the church, the wider church and our church. We're doing amazing stuff, but there's more for us to do. So, intercessors, pray over our projects. Pray over the cafe, all the conversations that take place. Pray over the Freedom Homes that is being set up. Pray over the people who are going to be coming and living in that house. Pray over the CAP clients that Lisa's meeting this week is in contact with. Those who haven't paid the debts off yet in this very, very tough climate. Intercessors, pray. have connections with those who don't have faith yet. People using our space. You know, people use this space, and do you know what they say to Mark? We don't know what it is about church, but there's something special here. Well, we know what it is. It's God's presence. This is God's house. His glory revealed in all situations. His blessings to be poured out in the world's difficult situations. Part of heaven brought down by asking, praying. We know we've got sickness in the world. Who watched the news the other night and saw that monkeypox? I looked at the telly and I thought, this is like a joke. I looked at the telly and I thought, not something else. Not something else. And I have to say, I went, Lord, have we not had enough? Have we not had enough stuff? Monkeypox, what next? We have hunger and famine in Syria and Africa. We've got a war in Ukraine. It's our responsibility to ask that his kingdom comes. And we have this promise, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. That's our promise. That's our promise. Let that be a word that burns. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Have you been on your knees? Have you prayed? Have you prayed for Ukraine? Are you still praying for the COVID cases that are still happening? In the last 4 weeks, I've had three managers who've all been off a week having COVID. They all got COVID again. We need to get on our knees. We need to pray. The spirit of submission and obedience to spirit, where God changes situations, bringing people into new relationships with Father. You see, people need that connection. The connection that Eddie described about reading that, where two or three are gathered, that they're there. You see, sometimes we can have a father, but we have no connection. When I was about 27, I was introduced to my birth father. I didn't know he existed until I was about 11 or 12, but when I was introduced to him when I was about 27, 28, it was quite sad, really. And I'll tell you why it was sad, because there was no connection. He was called Father. He was my father. I have his DNA, but there was no connection. And this man was a stranger and got out all these photographs and tried to tell me who people were in these photographs, in this plastic bag. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I only know your name. I don't know anything about you. I had no connection. And it's a shame, because 3 years later he passed away of cancer, and we never had that connection. But what I want to say is, what a connection we have with our Father. Our Father in heaven is connected to us by the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, Holy Spirit, and our Spirit. What an amazing connection that is. So I know of no connection, but I also know when I'm connected. And it's amazing. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is not about food, okay? This is about coming to God and having what we need for that day. The relationship, the resources we need to live in this world, to live for him. Jesus wants us trained for a blessed life. Of course he wants to bless us, but he also wants to bless us so we can serve, so that we can be that person who connects with others. So I can be the person who meets someone who's having it tough and listen to them. And when I get the opportunity, say, can I pray for you? A lot of people never say no, you know, when you ask them that question. Very few say no. Jesus wants us surrendered to his name, kingdom and will. Daily bread also must meet the needs of others. You know, and I don't know how you are, but in the morning I always wake up thankful. You've heard me say this lots of times, but I was doing it again this week. I was walking with Alfie, and I was walking to meet my friends at 7:30 in the morning, and I was walking down the road, and I was going, oh, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've given me. I am so thankful. I'm so blessed, God. Thank you so much for everything you've given me. And it's not hard, because I'm walking, and it's like, oh, God, I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful for everything you've given me. Thank you, God, that you sent your son, sacrifice for all my sin. Thank you, Lord, that there is not one of us who hasn't sinned. First scriptures we learn is Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by the grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And I'm so grateful that the son's sacrifice was for every sin, was for everyone. And when we confess that we've done wrong, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. His son was the sacrifice that made it possible for us to come to the Father. Now we've been forgiven. Let us forgive others. Relationships, hurts. Even when the hurt's justified, we are required to forgive. You know, there's nothing worse than knowing you're right. And when you're upset and somebody's upset you, it almost justifies you not forgiving or not getting on. It almost makes it harder to forgive. But God says we have to forgive even when we're right. Even when we're justified in feeling the way that we are, we have to forgive. There's no buts in forgiveness, you know. I was talking to someone the other week, and they were saying about something that in a relationship, and they started to tell me about what was going on, and they were just about to go, but, and I said, there's no buts. When you apologise, there's no buts. No buts in an apology. You apologise. It's tough, isn't it? We've been forgiven. We have to forgive others. I'll tell you a funny story. When my mum was about 83, I went round one day. I mean, as you know, my mum was very deaf, so you couldn't talk to mum on the phone. There was no chance with a mobile, you know. So you had to, when you had to have conversations with your mum, you had to go and physically see her face to face. And I got there one day, and I rocked up and drove up, walked up the path, and went in the house, and she went, "Hi, Susan." I always got my full Sunday name. "Hi, Susan." So I said, "Hi, Mum." And she says to me, she said, "I just need to tell you, I've forgiven the Germans." Now, what you don't know is that my mum was 11 when the war broke out, and it absolutely turned the world upside down, literally. And her dad was in the First World War, and it really affected my mum. And it affected her in such a way that she absolutely hated the Germans. I mean, hated the Germans for what they did. And she's one of these people, after the war, went to see all these, some of you will know about this, the black and white newsreels. She used to sit down with her dad, and he used to read the paper with her when she was a child. So she was well up on it all. And then after the war, she saw all the newsreels. So she saw all the live footage. She made herself go. And she saw all the live footage. So my mum was very angry about the Germans. So much so that once we were in a hotel. And in this hotel, the Germans nicked our dining room table for the night, the booking. So we turned up to sit in this hotel in Spain, and there were Germans sat at our table that we'd had all week. There was a bit of a scene with my mum. We had to literally drag her off them. But, I'm making fun of this, but it was an area where my mum had never ever forgiven. And there was another person that she'd never forgiven. And And that was because she'd lost a daughter to her first husband, and she never was able to bring her up, and she hated him. And she said, and I forgive him too. And you know, that particular day when she was 83, you think, is there much left that you've not got sorted? But you know, God's Holy Spirit was speaking to me, Mum. I don't know, it was a daily reading she'd read, I've no idea. And I just said to her, do you know, Mum, that's great. That's great that you've put down two things that have been in your life all that time and you've let go of them. And sometimes we need to let go of things. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom. Lord, give me what I need each day. Forgive my sins, no condemnation, and keep me from evil. Some of the verses also say the evil one. We need to acknowledge that in our own strength, we can't follow the path of doing the right things without God's help. We can't, you know. I don't care how good you are, how long you've been a Christian, how many times you've read the Bible from cover to cover. You can't do this on your own. You can't. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us. His grace, his unmerited favour. God does not give us what we deserve, and we have the help of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. In obedience we come, submitted to him. We heard from Mark a few weeks ago about a Christian that it doesn't guarantee an easy life. You know, when you look at, we listened to Alex last week, and Tracy's in remission from Hodgkinson's disease. That family have really been hit by cancer. We're not promised an easy life. But we look to God to guide us, and we look up. That's where I look. When life's tough, I look up. Do you know, one of the things I was reflecting on this, and I've seen it many times in church, and it always saddens me, and it must sadden God. Sometimes when we don't see people here for a while, one of the reasons we don't see them is Lord's not Lord. Lord is not Lord. And that's what God requires. He requires that he is number one. God wants to be our Father in heaven. His name to be our everything. He's the most important thing that we have in our lives. To do his will and not our own. To live this life for him. God's obedience, giving ourselves and our will. But what it does do, giving ourselves and our will, it's tough that, because it's constant. But what it does do, it brings a freedom in prayer for this temporary life on earth, because everything is given to his loving care. To have a heart that is soft and open and keeps returning to him is my desire for each one of us. And finally, the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. The Lord's Prayer begins with power and praise, and it ends with it in the same way. And this recognises that God is sovereign. He rules over everything, and nothing happens without him knowing. In human form, mankind wants the glory and praise. You know, you've only got to see that when you watch the news and then all of a sudden you see these armies and you look across an image and it's got a vast square, there'll be tanks, there'll be people that are marching all in step together, and you just see this massive array of people. That's man's idea of power. That's man's idea of showing the world that actually they're powerful. And we see that. We see it in images of China. We see it in images of Russia. Look at what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look at my power. This is so different to us as Christians who acknowledge God is over everything. We acknowledge that he can do and that we can't. All things belong to him. They always have and they always will. It's by prayer we'll see his kingdom come and see his power and glory. So what I'd like us to do now, let's just stand together. And let's say the prayer. Just dim the lights down, see if it gets a bit clearer. So let's start off. our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Do you want me to close, Jed? You've got the offering, haven't you? I'll hand over to Jed.
Thank you. Just take your seats for a minute, please.